The stepping down of Jim Gavin yesterday, as we've been talking about in sport, is obviously a historic moment in the history of Gaelic football, and it calls to mind some previous managerial titans, not least the rivalry of the Clash of the Titans in the 1970s and 80s, when two legendary managers and former players so regularly went head-to-head in Croke Park. One brought Gaelic football to unprecedented popularity in a city where it had been largely ignored for several decades, while the other was, perhaps until the advent of Jim Gavin, considered the greatest manager.
Oh, they won't like that. They won't like that down in Kerry.
Oh, I'd say they won't. Donal Fallon is all about describing Jim Gavin as the greatest manager of all time. Donal, as ever, good afternoon. How are you? Thank you very much for dropping in.
Good to be here.
Before we talk about Mikko and Heffo, Jim Gavin's record, not only just one of a manager, but a player,
yes,
often forgotten,
and
a great achievement too.
What a man Mikko is, and the brilliant documentary Mikko, if anyone hasn't seen it, is well worth watching. One of the most powerful and moving Irish documentaries of recent years. Jim Gavin's story, though, today, I mean, what an incredible story as a player, as a manager. And I think there was an inevitability kind of in that statement yesterday, you know, because of the enormity of what he had achieved. Five in a row, of course, is what he'll be remembered for. But, you know, remarkable achievement beyond that. This is a team which set a new record of playing 35 games in league and championship without defeat, yeah, which is incredible. Mm. Also, his contribution as a player, you know, part of that brilliant 1995 Dublin team who lifted the All-Ireland. Mm-hmm. Mention of that team will be enough for Tyrone listeners to throw radios out of windows.
Yes, we all remember
the legendary, yes, Dublin player and firefighter Charlie Redmond, sent off twice in a day.
Sent to the sideline, and Charlie just saunters off and continues to play for another 10 minutes until the referee goes, what are you doing here?
You would never get away with it today. No. And I think Charlie in his own way contributed to reform of the refereeing process in the game.
Reason why there's cards now.
But for me, one surprising thing about Gavin's success this year in particular, and in recent years, was how rarely the press evoked another name, that of Kevin Heffernan. Hmm. And the 1970s clash of Heffernan, or Heffo, in one corner, and the legendary Mick O'Dwyer in the other, rejuvenated the GAA and, you know, brought Gaelic football to prominence and kind of mainstream acceptance in a city where it had done very badly historically. So these are two legendary players of the game, two amazing personalities, and for me, it is the GAA's greatest historic rivalry. Hmm. And it's worth saying that, you know, it put to bed, there was a time when teams were run by panels, but this really brought, you know, the idea of the county manager. It solidified the idea of the great personality of the county manager, and there's no two bigger than Heffo and O'Dwyer.
Yeah, and part of the reason, I suppose, why it's so romantic and maybe why it doesn't get evoked when we talk about Jim Gavin is because there were two such big titans that were always at the top of their game, that Gavin had peers, but the peers came and went. There
Absolutely.
Wasn't someone who was there for the
constant rivalry.
Mick O'Dwyer, who was Kevin Heffernan's big rival, he was the embodiment of, like, the real rural ethos of the GAA.
He's a brilliant man. I mean, he retired as a player in 74 and appointed Kerry manager the very next year. I mean, he didn't take a year off. He's a Waterville man, an incredible playing career. I mean, he breaks both legs in 1964 and then he's back playing. But it's as a manager, which is just extraordinary, back playing the next year. It's as a manager that he kind of comes to assume this legendary position in Irish sporting life. And I mean, he just lives and breathes the GAA. He takes every chance he got, you know, as a successful manager at county level, to always try and focus attention back to the local game. And he had the good sense to understand that a team could only be as successful as what was coming up behind them, you know, the infrastructure that was there. There's a brilliant interview for McGill magazine with Brendan O'Hare, legendary journalist of the national game. And O'Dwyer, you know, despite being this very successful national county manager, the point that he makes is, look, he says, the thing above all else that has kept the association alive and healthy is the parish team. Is there a parish in the 32 counties that hasn't got a Gaelic team of some sort, either football or hurling? That's the lifeblood of the whole thing. That's the secret of the success of the GAA. Now, as a result of media coverage, more people are getting interested in the game and the achievements have been spectacular. But do you know that there are only three clubs in the whole of Kerry that haven't got pitches at the moment? So, I mean, the focus was always for him on building the game up on a local level. Mm. And I mean, I think that is at the heart of why people in Kerry and people beyond loved O'Dwyer and loved him so much.
Mm. His success, as we mentioned, until perhaps the advent of Jim Gavin, had merited for Mikko at least the title of being the greatest man.
Astonishing. He brought them to 10 All-Ireland finals. They won 8 of them. And at the same time as that's happening, it coincides, you know, with a remarkable time of sporting change in Dublin, the emergence of Kevin Heffernan. And in many ways, you know, the words Heffo's army, to me,
it's always been ambiguous.
Yeah, it's two different things. Yeah. The lads on the pitch are Heffo's army, but the fans on the terrace are a different kind of Heffo's army. Mm. You know, and in a city that was historically dominated by soccer, Dublin was raised on Shamrock Rovers, Liam Whelan, the Busby Babes, yeah. Johnny Giles, mm. Dalyman Park, all of that. You know, people set up and paid attention when this team were doing well. And just like O'Dwyer, you know, Heffernan, he emerges as a brilliant player in both codes, a great career with St Vincent's, 15 county football medals, later named in the GAA's team of the century. So O'Dwyer is this enormous personality, but so too is Kevin Heffernan.
You'd forget, actually, I follow a bit of Dublin Club GAA, and I know St Vincent's have had a bit of a renaissance in recent years. You'd forget they were so dominant once upon a time.
Oh, yeah.
15 county medals.
Remarkable. Remarkable.
Unbelievable. So you mentioned things were changing in the capital around the advent of this great rivalry, and people were beginning to sit up and pay attention to what was going on.
Yeah, the writer Lee Dunn, writing in the Herald in 75, Lee Dunn had a few books banned in the 70s, dirty writer on occasion, but a great cultural writer.
Okay.
And in the 1970s, writing in the Evening Herald about how, you know, things are changing. And he has this lovely line. He says, "One day Gaelic was Gaelic, but suddenly that was changed by the emergence of Dublin's own team. The identification with the team was one of the best things to happen in Blacklea since the Danes had bailed out." But I mean, the team had always been there. There'd always been a Dublin football team.
Yeah.
They just weren't doing well. And what was different was the success. And also Dublin was changing. Dublin in the 1970s is booming. The population of the capital, you know, city and suburbia, 984,000 at the end of the 70s, 1979. To put that in context, 20 years earlier, there were less than 700,000 people living in Dublin.
Oh, wow.
So you've got this rapidly expanding city, this new kind of suburbia. And when you have, you know, this never-ending series of new housing estates, GAA clubs, soccer clubs, everyone is asking themselves the same question. How do we get these kids? You know, how do we build the infrastructure that we move into those new areas and we avail of it? And Heffo's success on the team coincides with this growing Dublin. So there's a new Dublin to grab, and the GAA, rather than the League of Ireland or the like, is the one that's grabbing it.
You mentioned that this was a city that was raised on soccer with Liam Whelan and his exploits with the Busby Babes, and you have Shamrock Rovers and soccer internationals being played in Dalyman Park and everything else. Some of that bleeds into even the archive footage of Hill 16, which might surprise some people today.
Dublin fans don't like to hear this, but I mean, in 1974, the All-Ireland football final, there's plenty of it on YouTube to look at, and it's astonishing. I mean, the Hill is belting out "You'll Never Walk Alone," and that's an anthem that is, you know, more familiar with the Kop or with Celtic Park. I mean, that's a song that is firmly associated and synonymous with football culture in Britain. So when you have these kids on the Hill in 74 belting out "You'll Never Walk Alone," the only way I can look at that is, you know, you've an entirely new kind of youth culture that's emerging. And one kind of letter writer who's horrified by it all says there's now silly tribal chanting, foul language, and a terrible attitude of hostility, just like Old Trafford, White Hart Lane, or Highbury. When the match ended, the Dublin captain's speech was drowned out by "You'll Never Walk Alone." It could have been the Kop or Wembley. So for some traditionalists, if you want to call them that, this is a really, really shocking thing. You know, this kind of English soccer culture is leaking into Gaelic life.
Yeah. Heffo's army as well, separately, they got on the nerves of some GAA officials.
They did. I mean, they had a great willingness to invade the pitch, which caused real headaches, you know, for GAA officials.
Of course, it's the Heffo's army. We're talking about the fans,
sometimes the players too. But I mean, the fans would breach the terrace on a regular basis, sometimes when Dublin lost as well as winning. So, I mean, the GAA are furious about this. And the press are reporting, you know, Croke Park's notorious Hill 16 may be surrounded by a 12-foot barbed wire fence. And the GAA officials, I mean, one of them says a large proportion of the present Dublin following consists of hooligans, louts, and foul-mouthed ruffians who have absolutely no interest in Gaelic football or the GAA.
And this is a quote which is attributed to
This comes from a GAA official.
A Dublin GAA official is describing the county's own papers as hooligans and louts and foul-mouthed ruffians.
It's totally unfair. I mean, the vast majority of these young people that are getting into GAA in the 70s are serious about Gaelic football. They found something very exciting in it. You know, they found something in it that spoke to them. But it does capture the idea of this cultural clash that was underway.
It's funny that in 1975, which is when the Dublin GAA were clearly whittling all over their own supporters, that was the time they were describing them as louts and hooligans and thinking about a barbed wire fence. And it was actually 35 years later that they put up the big Perspex fence at a time when the Dublin County Board would never say ill of the supporters who have kept the place going for the last few years. The games between Mickos Kerry and Heffo's Dublin became the stuff of legend, even culminating in 1975 with an unconscious captain.
Yes, and O'Dwyer and Heffernan, I mean, O'Dwyer later tips his hat to Heffernan and he says he brought Dublin back from the dead. Some of these games are astonishing. The 75 All-Ireland final, Kerry captain Mickey O'Sullivan's unable to accept the Sam Maguire as he's been knocked unconscious during the game and he's been hospitalised. Kerry victorious in 75, Dublin the following year in the rematch. So, I mean, it's tit for tat stuff. It's not like the five in a row domination, you know, it's going tit for tat. And, you know, it was 75 Kerry, 76 Dublin, and then the scene is set for that third consecutive game.
Which then then brings us to one of the great quotes in the history of the pantheon of Irish sporting lines by Con Houlihan about the goal that was described, albeit in 1978, I think, as was the greatest freak of all
fantastic.
Time. Tell us about
many consider 77 the greatest final of all time, but in 78, the Dubs are going for three in a row. And I think Con Houlihan's match report is among the finest he ever penned. And Con wrote some fantastic pieces, but he describes the Dublin goalkeeper Paddy Cullen caught out by a free kick taken as he rushes back for home. I think it's just brilliant. It's Houlihan at his best. It's Joycey and stuff. Suddenly Paddy dashed back towards his goal like a woman who smells a cake burning. The ball won the race and it curled inside the near post as Paddy crashed into the outside of the net and lay against it like a fireman who has returned to find his station ablaze. You know, only Con Houlihan could file a report as brilliant as that.
In summary then, of the legacies of Kevin Heffernan and Mick O'Dwyer are obviously secure, but Jim Gavin now has to join them in those
undeniably
ranks.
And you know, I think the emergence of the big two was good. I mean, it was a soccer-like GAA fans, purists won't like to hear that, but it was a kind of soccer-like rivalry that just injected popular interest in the game. And fortunes waned in the 1980s for Dublin. I mean, they took a single All-Ireland football final victory in 83, but for O'Dwyer, the 80s were a remarkable period of success. 80, 81, 84, 85 and 86. Heffo got the Freedom of the City of Dublin in 2004. Very rare is that award bestowed upon sporting figures, and Jim Gavin has also been awarded it, quite rightly. So Heffo died in 2013, but the legendary Mick O at 83 is happily retired. He may even be listening. And the rivalry, you know, as demonstrated this year, is as alive as ever.
Will you be looking forward to cheering on Jason Sherlock as he tries to secure the six in a row next
Wouldn't
year?
That be fantastic? Wouldn't
do,
that
do
be
think
a beautiful
be him?
I think
or
that's
Desi
a,
or Paul,
that's a lovely reckon? That's a lovely idea. Very few people have the commitment and the passion of Jason Sherlock. I think that would be fantastic.
One of the pieces that's written in today's papers, actually, or even by Malachy Clerken, I think yesterday, the fact that Jim Gavin and Jason Sherlock were from that generation who won the All-Ireland in 95, but every year ended up being the story of promise unfulfilled, and it was the one ethos that they brought to the job in the last 6 or 7 years. They did not want the current generation to have that sense of unfulfilled promise that they themselves had, and look what it's brought them. Donald Fallon, thank you very much as ever. Donald Fallon is the author and historian. He's the creator of the Come Here To Me blog and books, volumes 1 and 2 of which are in all good bookshops now, and the creator of the Three Castles Burning podcast, an image which those of us who don't like Dublin GAA teams might very much enjoy in years hence. You'll find that everywhere that you get your podcasts, Donald. Thank you very much.